Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to today's show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, and as you may or may not know, every 10th show we kind of do a special tradition here that originated with my Creating Wealth show, where we do a topic that is actually off-topic on purpose, something just to do with general life and more successful living, and that's exactly what we're going to do today with our special guest. Again, 10th show is off-topic, and it is very much intentional, just for personal enrichment. And I hope you enjoy today's show. And we will be back with our guest in just a moment. It's my pleasure to welcome Jocelyn Kessler to the show. She is an expert on the animal-human connection, or maybe I should say the human-animal connection. And we're going to talk about some interesting stuff with her. So Jocelyn, welcome. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good. And you're coming to us from Los Angeles, where I grew up, my hometown.
Oh, wow, you grew up here. I rarely hear that. But I am. I'm coming from Los Angeles. A balmy day.
There you go. Well, tell us now, you've got, one book on the subject? The Secret Language of Dogs is quite a famous book, actually. Or do you have other books as well?
No, this was my first book, actually, and a book that kind of just took its own journey. I had no idea where it was going to go, but this is absolutely my first book, and I am certainly jotting down some ideas for a second, so I'm trying to move in a second for sure.
Yeah, well, just looking at some of the chapter titles, I mean, I've heard of this book many times. I have not read it. But, you know, I've definitely heard a lot about it. And you talk about, like, in chapter one, I wish my dog could speak. Well, so do I. But I don't know. The bloom might fall off the rose if the dog could speak. I'm not so sure that would be a good idea. And I got to tell you.
It's not as bad as you think.
Well, my mom used to always say that she wished her dog could speak. So I remember when some Japanese company came out with a device that interprets dog barks and so forth and turns them into human language. I guess that one never caught on, but I remember buying her that once years ago. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
What I do is somewhat twofold. I mean, it started off that I was basically on a very basic level. I am able to interpret dogs' energy, and in that is I can hear them through their energy, what they need, what they want, what maybe ails them, and then on a much broader level, what do they need to connect to the human being that is their companion, so that their journey is led out correctly, as well as the human being. And because I can hear that, as time went on, I was able to cultivate a method that I could connect the dog's energy to the human being. So then I can see the neuroses in the animal, and then right into the human being. And because the human being, it has a broader base on how to deal with that, I go through what we need to do with them, and then in turn, I speak to the animal, the dog in particular. Dogs are very simple. They speak simply. They don't put emotion around what they're trying to speak to you. They don't put that around there. It's very, I need this because I don't feel well because of this, or, I'm harboring something in heart center, or my human companion is crying all the time, and in turn, that leads me to do this. There's not a lot of static around. So then the dog is in the moment with what they need, which then once I go to the human companion, we as humans have a hard time staying in the moment. And that's the beauty of this work, is the dog represents that energy. So So if the human being can take hold of what they've been burying for so long and has finally really come to a head and they cannot move forward, not only with their dog, but in life on so many levels, then I need to teach them through the dog's energy to come back to the moment, take ownership of it, and clear it. If the human being can do that, then the dog is the perfect counselor to keep you in that moment. Because as soon as you go back to the neuroses that was plaguing both of you to begin with and the energy that surrounds you, the dog will go off track immediately. The dog becomes your mirror image. That means you have to release and get back to the moment.
Okay. So, I mean, why do people come to you then? Do they come to you because they have a problem or because to massively simplify it, or for dog training, saying that their dog has a problem? Well, I'm sort of having trouble connecting the dots here.
They come to me because the dog, you know, it's usually that they're finding that there's a constant issue in the household. The dog has a problem, and it's mostly a complaint on the dog. But as we've moved along, I've been trying to be so educating that I'm not just working with the dog. I'm also working with the human being. And that's been a little difficult to somewhat get across. But if anyone comes to me, it's always with a complaint of the dog in the beginning. Now I'm getting more, listen, dog is doing this, but I'm in a funky place in my life, and I believe for the first time in a long time, I'm really affecting my dog. And if he or she already had an existing issue, I'm amplifying it. How do I change this? So it is originally the dog, and now I'm getting, what do I do with all of us?
I mean, the reviews on Amazon are very interesting. What is your background? I mean, what did you do before? What is your background that led you up to writing this book?
Well, it's funny. My background is a mixed bag. I think that so often people are seeming to think that this is something that I've been, you know, out and about doing from birth, and that's not the case. I've had a really hard time understanding within myself to have this, because it's not, you know, I had to come into my own to say, why am I listening, or why can I hear these animals? What do I do with that? For a while, I was not just hearing dogs, I was hearing everything. And I didn't understand it. And a lot of people around me didn't understand it. And I was very isolated with it. And for a very long time, since probably from age 14 on, I would be called to side jobs, I would say my side jobs, to various people who had problems with their dogs. And can you hear what they say? And I wasn't cultivating what I'm doing now. I would just tell them what I heard and what I think that means to what was going on. And I'd get paid, you know, $15, and I'd go in and do that. And as I grew up, I didn't really want to do it anymore for a little while. I didn't know what to do with it. So I stopped it, and then I was creative, and then I went back to it again. Then I started to pick up studies on how to work with the land, and I used some shamanic ritual with this. And I went and studied with many individuals on how to heal and how to move this energy and what this all means and what are my higher powers, who are my guides, why was I given this gift, and not to fear it. I was in tremendous fear for a while on that. Once I really took the time to understand it and value it, then a part-time job became full-time. And I started to really work with it. And 2 years ago, I had many of my clients when I was in New York say to me, actually about 3 years now, you need to write this because this is different and you need to talk about it. And I just thought I would write a book that I didn't even know it could become a book. I just started to write, quite frankly, sent it out blindly to a few publishers, open submission, no real referrals. And one came back to me and said, let's do this. And it's an interesting process. But my background, I mean, it started since I was a baby. I was brought up with great Pyrenees. Most of my conversations were with the dogs more so than human beings. And that's when I started hearing.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, one of the things you say is that, well, our dogs don't speak English. They are communicating with us all the time. And just recently I saw an article about how dogs are the only animals that take eye cues from eye contact, in other words. You know, when you look at your dog in the eye and they look back at you, humans and dogs really do communicate that way. And certainly people to people can communicate by looking each other in the eye without even speaking. It's just amazing the amount of nuance in the eyes and the part around the eyes. What are they doing? What are they communicating with us? Give us some examples.
Oh, it varies. I mean, I think it's never just one of the same. They can communicate many things. I can just use a prime example with my dog, Emma, this morning. I had to rush her on a walk because I had to run to something and she didn't get her usual long walk. Now I speak to Emma all the time. We work together. And I came home, dropped leash off, fed her, and looked at her and said, "Listen, I apologize today. I know you didn't get what you normally get. And this evening when I get home, I will fulfill that for you." And she sat down and looked at me and said, "You should have done it now." Now, that's the energy to break down. You should have done it. You just should have done it. Now, that's how simple it is. Now, it's not, well, you know, if we would have done it, or if you could have done your time, you know, blah, 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 blah. I was very scattered this morning. I could have used my time wisely. It affected just about everything out from the morning on. And she was right, and she looked me right in the eye. She winked on my right side, which I've been using a lot of masculine energy today, and she said, "You should have done it now." So when people say, "How simple is it?" it hit home because I took that energy in. She sent it to me through her eyes and through energy, and then she went, kind of moved her right ear at the same time. So she really put forth a lot off the right side of her, which is the strong side, and looked at me and said, "You should have done it." And she's right. I could have done it and I should have done it. So my point is that most of the time they're picking up on a sub energy that we have already. What held us back from not being able to do the things we should have done? And she called me out on it and she was right.
Give us some other examples.
It could be there. I just worked on actually a lab not too long ago, a yellow lab, who just had ligament surgery in his rear leg. And they couldn't get the inflammation down. And he was on various forms of medication. And his human companion said, "I don't know. I don't think he's in pain. You know, he's walking, it's a slow go, but I don't think he's in pain. Is he in pain?" And at that time, he looked up at me and he said, "I'm in more pain in my right leg," which was his good leg, "because he's putting more pressure there than in the left at the moment. And the left would have the surgery." And he kind of moved his body on the right side, and it was hard for him, and kicked out his right foot from under his left. So he's laying down and he kicks it out, and his human companion said, "What is he doing?" And I said, he's off balance because he's putting too much on the right. And the dog kept looking down at his right, and the dog kept looking, because you can tell that the human being who I was speaking to didn't understand. And it was that time the dog was connecting the energy, and he said, "Does he have arthritis in that leg as well?" And I said, "Yes." So my point is here that once the human being could connect to the energy and really got aware, he already knew that. So we're listening and hearing much more. So I was the catalyst for the dog to show, and then we connected the energy, and he said, "We have a problem in the right leg too." And I said, "Yes, we have a problem in the right." He had no idea. So that's another example.
And when you say you work with a dog, or you say you mentioned that you worked on a lab, what do you do? What does that look like? Describe it for our listeners.
It varies. I mean, this was something of trauma. So this was surgery. Everyone varies. So I actually was hands-on, which means I was sending energy toward healing through the animal in various spots. I was in his sacral. I was also in his hind. I went through his heart center. So in these cases, when I say work on, if it's in the sense of trauma or surgery or recovery, I'll get called in to actually do hands-on healing for the animal towards that. And I will send energy and work with the animal one-on-one that has nothing to do with the human being for the first half of the session, which all has to do with getting the dog back into balance and toward healing and what that animal needs to do that. That's a hands-on approach. And I call a lot of animal spirits in at that time, and I get quiet and I move around some energy. When I incorporate the human being then, because they're usually saying to me, what does the animal need to heal? I can then bring them into the process. That's one aspect. If it's just to correct something in a dog, such as a lot of biting or perhaps clawing at the door, then I'm not so much hands-on. Then I'm all in energy, which means we sit down on the floor all together and I go and bring in my guides and get quiet and start speaking to the dog on a very simple level to see where is this disruption in energy in the household and the connection to their human companion. And I don't do hands-on work. I'm just reading the animal for you. And then I bring you in on how this all works. So it varies.
All right, good. What else would you like people to know about this work?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I'd like to know, because this is very new and very different. And for so long, a very long time, we have known a dog trainer or a dog psychic. And we have known to go in and say just what our dog needs, or how can we train our animals so we can all live together, and they're focusing on the dog. And we've known that for a long time. And then the human beings are taken care of separately. I'm trying to erase the line a little bit. I'm trying to say we are very much connected to our dogs and what we hold energetically and what we store that's toxic, or what really holds us back that is fear-based. That energy is transferred to your dog for sure. And that a lot of the issues that the dog has already come to you with, it's just their own journey, whether you rescued them or not, they're coming to you for a reason. It's not random. You're both supposed to learn from each other, the dog to learn from you and you to learn from the dog, and that it's a destined moment. And if that's the case, and it's not just about one or the other, it's about both of you or all of you, and where you live and how you live and how you connect to all that is around you. It's a hard message, but I think it's a necessity in this day and age. We need to broaden that scope. We need to know that we are affecting our dogs that way. And it's a hard message to get across.
Any other tips that you wanted to share as to what we can do to live better and help our animals live better?
Well, I would say that, you know, the one tip that I would be giving that most people will say, how can I start this to even know how they're speaking? Can I hear them too? And you can absolutely hear them, and you are hearing them. But we let a lot of static and a lot of our own things and a lot of outside energy corrupt the message or kind of break it up. So then we're not trusting what we hear, and then we're off of intuition. We're not in instinct mode. Animals speak to us that way. So I would say that we are probably getting more than most think. And to sit quietly for 4 to 5 minutes, and that's not a lot of time, quietly with your dog, and start, put your hand on the dog's heart, on their head, and connect and quietly start breathing and really seeing that breath that's flowing through you and your dog as light and connective energy. And once you're quiet in that and long breaths and your dog is quiet, all of a sudden you can start picking up more than you possibly think. But we have to get quiet with it, and we can't look for what we think we need. And once we're in that, we set our intention. I want to remove blocks from my heart center. I want to be able to connect with you on a broader range. I want to really know what you need. that simple. That's how a dog hears, what the attention is set, and your mind is only focusing quietly on that breath that's circulating between the two of you. If you can do that often, once a day, twice a day, not only does it help your intuition and you staying in the moment, you'll be able to hear and understand much more that your dog is trying to translate to you, whether it's through the eyes, through voice, through energy, or just the little messages that they try to give you. They will become clearer. We have that capacity, and I think that's important for people to know that.
Yeah, good. Jocelyn, give out your website.
The website is jocelynkessler.com. You can also get us at Facebook at Jocelyn Kessler, LLC. And the book is The Secret Language of Dogs, which is on Amazon and also on Hampton Road, my publisher's website.
Fantastic. Well, Jocelyn Kessler, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
You know, Penny, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Brit. Jason actually has a 6-book set on creating wealth that comes with over 100 hours of the most comprehensive ideas on investing in business. They're in high-quality digital download audio format, ready for your car, iPod, or wherever you want to learn.
Yes, and by the way, he's recently added another book to the series that shows you investing the way it should be. This is a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Jason actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets that are untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches us how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
He's recorded interviews with Harry Dent, Peter Schiff, Robert Kiyosaki, Pat Buchanan, Catherine Austin Fitz, Dr. Dennis Waitley, T. Harv Eker, and so many others who are experts on the economy, on real estate, and on creating wealth.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered with a savings of $385.
Now, to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series complete with over 100 hours of audio and 6 books, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.